From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of September 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner. Hear a bit about the Farm Bill as it's proceeding again through the Washington, D.C. corridors. And we'll discuss what's been happening in the world of agricultural cash grain markets with the guys over at the Andersons facility in Logansport, Indiana. It all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
On this Wednesday afternoon, let's check now how the numbers settled up at the CME Group in Chicago. December soft red winter wheat at $6.70.5. Up 12 and a quarter for the day. The July at 6.77, up 10.5 cents. The hard red at 11 higher, finished at $7.05. December corn futures at 4.54¾, up 6 on the afternoon. The March at 4.67¼, up 5¾. And May corn, $4.75 a bushel, up 5¾. July, $4.81¾, up 5¾. And December of 2014, at $4.91¼, up 4¾. November soybeans, $13.21¾ up 9¼. January at $13.24, 9¼ higher. The March contract at $13.05, up 7 cents. May futures at $12.83½, and the bean pit up 4½. And the July at $12.74¾, 3¼ higher. November beans at $11.79 for next year, a settlement price down 2 cents. Bean meal futures at $4.18.60, up $4.50. Bean oil at $41.82, finished 2 cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures for the day are trading at the October at $127.55 on the end of the afternoon, up 22.5 cents. And the December futures there at $131.27.5, a nickel higher. September feeder cattle at $158.67.5 were up 72.5. The October at $162.92.5, down 85 cents. And November feeders at $164 and a nickel, 70 cents lower for 100 pounds. October lean hogs, $93.70, up $1.20. December for the day at $88.60, a finish 52.5 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day trading November at $102.36. That's down 77 cents. The October gasoline for the RBOB, or wholesale price, at $2.67, a penny higher for the day. Ethanol futures at $1.89.5, up 6 and 7 tenths. And the spread between the two is 5 and 7 tenths of a cent narrower than yesterday at 77 and 3 tenths of a cent. The natural gas at $3.50 and a tenth of a cent, just about 9 tenths of a cent higher. And diesel fuel at $2.96 and 8 tenths of a cent a gallon, up 7 tenths of a cent. The gold futures finished $19.90 higher, and the U.S. dollar is down 0.22 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area over the next several days, starting with this afternoon, where we'll have sunny skies and a high of 80 degrees on an east-northeast wind at about 7 miles an hour. Then tonight, mostly clear, with a low of 52, sunny skies tomorrow, and a high near 80 degrees. And then as we look forward to tomorrow evening, clear skies and 52, Friday sunny and 82, and Friday evening mostly clear, and a low of 58. Saturday, sunny skies and 82 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low of 59. Sunday, a chance of showers, partly sunny during the day, a high of 73 degrees, and Sunday evening, mostly clear and 50. Sunny and 75 on Monday. Monday night, clear and 52. And on Tuesday, sunny skies and 76 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It is the 24th day of September 2013. On the phone line with us, Jackie Vank. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Have you been able to talk to your farmers that are on the combine and in the field today?
Oh, yes. By cell phone only. There's no question about that. Pretty loud in the background at times and a lot of interruptions coming in at the same time. But, you know, no matter where you call, if you're in the central part of the belt, you're finding somebody out in a combine. When you get up into the Minnesota area and places like that, you're only finding them out there if they were involved in that heavy windstorm that took down a lot of the corn due to weak stalks. But, yep, everybody's out there, and they're all working away. So varying numbers when you're looking at yields. The one that I think that a lot of times we ignore and the trade ignores is what goes on where we actually have any kind of irrigation. And, you know, I talked to one of our big guys out there last year. He averaged 239 on his irrigated corn. And this year he has water restrictions. So they started harvesting in the area where they have water restrictions. It was the furthest, and in contrast to 239 last year, they're running 155 on an average this year. And today, though, his brother went out to a different field in a different county where they do not have water restrictions, and they're running 230. So, you know, I think that'll be kind of the wild card for when we come to the end of the year, Todd, in January, and we actually look at the final crop size, just how much of an impact did the water restrictions that exist in Kansas and Nebraska, which are, you know, big production states for us, really impact the final number.
Mm-hmm. Rain makes grain. Let's turn our attention back to a year where we didn't have a lot of rain, irrigated or otherwise, I suppose, last year, because the grain stocks report is out the last day of the month on the 30th. What's the guesses and the possible impact?
Well, you know, we saw a little bit of, we of course saw what WASDE was guessing on the supply and demand report, and mm-hmm. of course, you know, that was at 661 carryout. Average guesses that I'm seeing right now are coming in at 681 for corn stocks, 124 for beans, 1.913 for wheat. All of those are significantly lower than we were a year ago, but that makes sense because we really didn't have the crop last year to be able to bring this back up. So, you know, when we get into Monday's report at 11 o'clock, it's going to tell us a lot. I think probably the wheat story will be a bigger story than any of the rest because there's been a lot of discussion and contention about what we really produced for wheat this year on the hard red side. And when it comes to the corn, well, if we come in higher than 661, I guess we may go back and try and test that low of 445 and three quarters. And if we don't, we've got an opportunity to come in here and try and push through that 455 and three quarter overhead resistance we just couldn't quite stay above today and maybe reach out for the 464.
Do you suppose that the lower overall price of corn will help stimulate some demand?
Oh, I really think so. In fact, you know, when you look at the lower price, you know, is it really a bad thing is the big question, I guess, more than anything else. And, you know, the when we're already seeing numbers coming out of South America that are saying their production is going to be down by 11.6 million metric tons on corn this year and up by 12.4 million metric tons on beans, it's having an impact. There's no question about that. The ratio for beans over corn in South America is just outstanding and definitely encourages that. When you look at acres, they figure they're going to lose about 1.24 million hectares on corn and add about 2.7 million hectares to beans. So we could be looking at a very different situation going into next year in terms of demand for our corn, number one, coming from us more, you know, coming to us more than they were going to South America, perhaps. And the impact could be on the opposite side on beans. You know, we could see them. In fact, this year, I have a great fear that, you know, we're going to get harvest into full swing here. And I still think selling off the combine and reowning in July is a wise thing because Brazil is going to be selling into our harvest. They had a huge crop this year. They do not have good infrastructure. And it could really hold down the nearby November contract especially. So, you know, you look at November, it's got support at 13. It's got resistance at 1340. So I think range trading will go on. And if we haven't heard very many bean numbers at this point in time yet, but the few that we've heard have been better than what I would have expected them to be, and nobody knows what the rains maybe did for Iowa.
You gave us your thoughts on soybeans selling off of the combine. What about corn?
What about corn? Well, I look at corn, you know, corn still has very good carry in the marketplace, and we have 21 cents carry to May. You know, I think that storing corn makes sense. You know, if you have to store it at the elevator, you've just got to really stay tight to what the basis is. And I think basis is going to be a good player again this year. In other words, I think, you know, that we could see a very strong basis if they're not getting the corn coming in. We got a lot of silver in the country. You and I have talked about that before. And so once we're through the beginning and guys don't have to necessarily push it to town anymore, you could really see a big improvement in the basis. But if you're going to hold it, you have to make sure that you protect the carry in that market, because that's not a guarantee. It's just, you know, it's there right now. So I think corn is a storable product, and I think, you know, well, typical at this time of year, you normally don't see your best basis during harvest.
Yeah, and the Argentine weather hasn't been cooperating particularly for either the wheat or the corn crop. That's really dry, as we'll hear a bit later from Drew Lerner. And it's been kind of cold there, too.
Oh, yes. Argentina's actually had freezing weather. And, you know, they don't start planting. You know, they'd be planting corn already. They don't start planting beans normally until after the 1st of October. But that freezing weather in Argentina today really motivated the wheat market, and we saw the wheat market just kind of take off and go. China's out here looking because there's speculation that Russia has less available, and Argentina, of course, has already said we're not selling any more wheat, and now we have Brazil actually expected to buy U.S. wheat. So I think that those are all really positive things. And when you look to next year's crop for wheat, next July, we already have a 702 insurance price for Chicago, and we have the discovery period for Minneapolis KC now from the 14th of September until the 10th of, or the 15th, excuse me, of October. At the moment, that average in KC is 693. So I think anyone who's going to be raising wheat has to really pay attention. If we get above 702, you know, then I think that it's very important that a person get in there and do some type of a hedge situation. And we'll be looking to do the same thing, you know, for KC and Minneapolis at the same time.
And wrap it up with the livestock. Hogs and Pigs report due out?
Yep. Hogs and Pigs comes out. They're expecting 98.6 on all hogs, breeding 101.5, marketing 98.3. I think the big thing that's really driving things, too, is no change in the size of the litters. And that's more than likely due to extreme heat that we had during this past quarter. But again, you know, a stamp that says there's still pigs out there and they're still going to be eating corn. But for right now, the nearby weights are down just because of the fact that we had the extreme heat. So good opportunities for hog farmers to get some hedging done.
Cattle supported by the cash market?
You betcha. There's no question about that. Cash market and a little bit of nudging on some short covering.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. That is Jackie Fake. She's with Stuart Peterson. Joins us from her office right here in Champaign County on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, is here now. He'll take us through the news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, a federal judge has ruled that the Environmental Protection Agency must provide a more detailed defense for letting states take the lead on water quality controls in the Mississippi River watershed. Depending on the outcome, farmers across the Midwest and Great Plains could be facing the same kind of water quality pressures that farmers face in the Chesapeake Bay. A federal judge in Louisiana has ruled EPA must respond to a 5-year-old request from environmental groups to consider tougher pollution controls on chemicals such as nitrogen and phosphorus in the Mississippi River Basin. Senator Charles Grassley says that payment limit provisions in the Farm Bill conference talks should be non-negotiable. Grassley, a Republican from Iowa, said the payment limit provisions in the House and Senate are the same. The proposals would cap farm commodity payments at $125,000 for an individual or $250,000 per married couple annually. The bills also tighten rules on defining how a farmer is actively engaged in the operation. Grassley has argued for years in the Senate to tighten payment programs. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow is calling on the Commodity Futures Trading Commission to review recent allegations about possible manipulation of the markets for renewable identification numbers, or RINs, the tracking mechanism to ensure petroleum blenders and refiners meet their requirements under the Renewable Fuel Standard. Stabenow wants the CFTC, which is tasked with overseeing markets for commodity futures options and swaps, to use its expertise and authority to help preserve the integrity of the RINs market. Stabenow is concerned that a lack of transparency in RIN markets has made them more susceptible to manipulation. Smithfield Foods Incorporated shareholders have approved the pork processor's $4.7 billion acquisition by Shuanghui International Holdings, the biggest purchase of a U.S. company ever by a Chinese firm. At a special Smithfield shareholder meeting yesterday, more than 96% of votes cast were in favor of the deal, representing about 76% of the company's total shares outstanding. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find online at willag.org. That's willag.org. I know you're busy, by the way. If you can't listen to us on the radio or get to us on the web, how about just dialing up at 217-333-3434 during the day at about 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day. Some of the numbers and a bit of analysis at 10:15 and 3:15. The phone number to call, 217-333-3434. Now up next, our friends at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting have provided us with some audio about the Farm Bill. The Farm Bill, of course, faces yet another hurdle. The nutrition title passed by the House last week does not include a measure to combine it with the farm-only bill passed in July. And that means the House must hold another vote to merge the bills and then ask the Senate for a conference. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid will also need to reappoint conferees before the House can appoint its own. U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says it just leads to further delays.
It is going to require another vote, and that's likely going to delay what has already been delayed for far too long, which is the appointment of conferees by the House to a conference committee with the Senate to begin working out the differences between the two versions.
Vilsack says that could push the conference process well into October, past the deadline for expiration.
Well, of course, it depends on whether or not they can actually get a vote this week on merging the two. If they do, I would think that House leadership should be in a position to appoint conferees very quickly after that. And so I would anticipate and expect and hope that we would see some action before the next week or so.
The secretary is disappointed with the $40 billion of cuts to the House nutrition title. He says it will make it extremely difficult to conference with the Senate Farm Bill and will not be supported by the president.
I think the House made an ill-fated move last week. Clearly, no one's going to accept $40 billion of cuts in nutrition programs. The fact that you're separating the food programs from the farm programs by having an earlier termination date on the nutrition programs, as the House has now passed, is a very bad idea for farm programs, because if we're trying to get support for the 1% of America that farms, we need the other 99% to know that there's something in this bill that they can relate to.
Vilsack also believes there is no support for an extension. Speaking of that, the extension that we're currently under expires on Monday evening at midnight. North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp thinks all of the attention on the nutrition cuts are part of a long-term strategy by some to eliminate the farm bill.
There's been so much attention to nutrition, but the long-term strategy here is to kill the farm bill. And if you doubt this, I would ask you to go out and look, read a National Review article, which was highly critical of this effort, saying this isn't the problem in the farm bill. The farm bill is the problem, so why are you doing this? I think that it's very transparent what they're doing. And we just need to continue to focus on bringing these two, nutrition back together, marrying it back together with the farm program, and doing something that provides predictability to our agricultural industry, that provides 16 million jobs in this country.
Heitkamp says if the compromise cuts for nutrition are $10 billion, she doubts the farm bill will pass in the House.
The only way it passes the House is if the Speaker is willing to back off the Hassert rule, which says that a majority of the votes that come to pass a bill have to come from the Republican side. I think $10 million will be a big lift for the Senate or the House Democrats, but might be possible for the House Democrats, depending upon how the bill is fashioned and where they get the $10
billion. That's North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp. More to come as the week passes on the Farm Bill and the Hill in Washington, D.C.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Time to check the cash grain market on the phone line with us from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, for Wednesday afternoon is Stephen Lineberg. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
How are we doing, Todd?
Oh, I'm very well. Are you busy there?
Yeah, very much so.
Lines out the door?
Not quite, but it's getting there. Seems to be the afternoon is where it picks up. The crop dries down a little and allows us to get rolling.
You doing much in the way of soybeans yet?
Yeah. Big-time movement here in the last, we'll call it 36 hours, soon to be 48, has really picked up. Weather's been good for these guys, or at least around here locally.
More than half the trucks or not?
Not quite, but close. 30%.
Tell me about the yields on both sides.
Good. I mean, locally, very good. I mean, we're hearing reports into the 65s to 69, I think, is the high we've heard today. Low end 42s to 4s. Test weight really good. So, I mean, really, locally gives us a very, bearish tone.
And for corn?
Still pretty bearish as well. I mean, it 210 to 215 in some, 230s in some. We've heard some 40s to 55s, but a heck of a lot more 200 talk than the 140s for sure.
I'm sure the quick ships have gone away, right?
Pretty much virtually eliminated.
Right. So has basis broken or not?
Yeah, it has. It has, and I think it continues to ride that downhill slide here at least, late November as beans shipments start to pick up out of the field, as well as most corn we're going to probably expect to go to the bin. So we'd like project maybe a bit of a basis increase, as harvest kind of dwindles down and we start to search for that corn to come to us, when harvest finishes up. But here for the next 20, 30 days, certainly think that we're going to continue to fade a bit.
Yeah, indeed. So when you look forward for the beans at the moment, are producers thinking that they want to store it with you, or are they just bringing them across the scale and sell?
Right now, cash price on, cash bean contracts seem to be the most popular when you look at it, especially in a day like today where, futures are up 10, and you can still capture that plus $13 cash level. We're certainly looking at that to be the prospering side and, storing all the corn as they can.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Lineberg is with the Anderson's Climbers facility. He's in Logansport, Indiana.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Back in 2 minutes with the weather.
It's National Crab Newberg Day. It's also National Food Service Workers Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1843, Melville Reuben Bissell was born. Bissell invented the carpet sweeper in 1876 to sweep up dust from his wife's crockery shop in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dust from the packings had been affecting his wife's health. In 1846, Peter Culpin was born.
a German meteorologist and climatologist. He played a major role in the advancement of both sciences. And the climate classification system he developed remains popular today because it uses easily obtained data. In 1879, the cream separator was patented. Before milk cream separators, cream was separated from milk by letting the milk sit until the cream floated to the top and then could be skimmed off by hand. In 1974, it was first reported that Freon from aerosol cans was destroying the ozone layer above the Earth. And in 1985, William Cumming Rose died, an American biochemist. He researched amino acids and established the importance of the 8 essential amino acids in human nutrition. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner is on the phone line from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, let's start off with harvest weather in the Midwest. It looks like it's pretty good, but I think there are some rain showers that may develop. What do you see?
Well, it does indeed look mostly good right now. We do have a small disturbance that will work its way across the region as we go from Friday into Sunday. The showers you're talking about are out there right now, scattering from some areas in southern Illinois down into Kentucky, and those will stay with us a little bit this afternoon, and we'll probably see them dissipate overnight tonight, and that'll be the end of them. But as far as an organized rain event that comes into the region, probably not before the Saturday-Sunday time period. The frontal system responsible for the precipitation will go ahead and begin bringing rain into the western Corn Belt on Friday, but it won't cross over the Mississippi River until sometime on Saturday, and sometime Saturday evening into Sunday we'll likely see the majority of the precipitation marching through the Midwest. Now, this will be a fast-moving front. It is also supposed to produce only light amounts of rain, upwards to a quarter of an inch most often, a couple of spots maybe getting a half inch. And as the system moves eastward, it's probably going to lose some punch. And so it is very doubtful that we'll see any kind of lengthy interruption to field work as the system moves across the region. Right after it, we'll go back into more dry weather as we finish out the weekend and move into the early part of next week. And the next opportunity for rain in the heart of the Midwest will probably hold off until the second half of next week. But there will be a few random showers in the Ohio River Valley that may occur sooner than that, perhaps around midweek. But again, the bottom line here is this is a really very good environment for maturing our crops and for advancing the harvest.
Looks like daytime highs and nighttime lows will be reasonable.
Actually, they'll be more than reasonable for this time of the year, well above average at times across parts of the region. A lot of 70 and 80 degree temperatures expected across the region. Normals for this time of year should be in the 60s and 70s, so we're doing all right. Might even see a couple of extreme highs here before the front arrives late this week, up in the upper 80s to near 90 in parts of Missouri and southern Illinois, down into the Delta and over into Kentucky. So it's still summertime across many areas.
Turn your attention to South America, where they're setting up for their planting season. You start with Brazil.
Brazil, we do have a problem with some dryness. At least that's the perception. It's not really a problem. This is in west-central parts of the production region, which includes the most important soybean-producing state of Mato Grosso. Some immediate neighboring areas of Goiás and northern Mato Grosso do Sul are also rather dry. In the traditional years when we used to plant a little bit later, this drier bias right now was not an issue. But since the soybeans are going into the ground along with early corn so much earlier than usual, having dryness in September is more of an issue. And that's what we've got right now is a relatively normal drier bias pattern. But because they're trying to put so much seed in the ground at this time of the year, it's becoming a bit of an issue from the market perspective. The rest of Brazil is plenty moist and will continue to be that way. There's going to be good planting progress. In fact, rapid field work likely in the southern parts of the country.
A very short word on Argentina?
Argentina is not doing very well because of dryness, and there's been some freezes that occurred this week across the western wheat areas, causing some more damage. Some of the areas in Argentina have not seen a half inch of rain from a single weather event since back into the period April and May. So it's extremely dry out there, and they do need significant rain right away.
Drew Lerner with World Weather Incorporated. I'm Todd Gleason. That's the Closing Market Report.